Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and I'm your host. My work is dedicated to empowering people to live according to their own values of compassion and wellness. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, joyfulvegan.com. You can also join thousands whose lives have been changed by the 30-Day Vegan Challenge and get yourself on board with the award-winning book or the multimedia online program or both at 30dayveganchallenge.com. Today's topic is processed foods are evil, or are they? This is a long version of a 7-minute vegan point of view video I made and released very recently. And if you'd like to watch that, you can do so at Joyful Vegan or my YouTube channel. But today we're going to go into greater detail about quote unquote processed foods. First of all, thank you to all of our listener sponsors, to all of you who are sponsoring this podcast, including new gold patron Genevieve Okoma. Thank you also to our sponsor, the American Anti-Vivisection Society at aavs.org. Along with other animal protection organizations, AAVS is mobilizing to provide emergency funding for the care of 66 chimpanzees who were abandoned by the New York Blood Center. I don't know if you've heard about this. There was a story in the New York Times. The New York Blood Center set up a lab in Liberia in the 1970s, so it would have easy access to chimpanzees to use in experiments to study hepatitis and HIV. The chimpanzees have been retired for at least a decade, and in the past, the New York Blood Center has acknowledged its responsibility to financially support these animals, including in retirement. However, as of March 6, 2015, it has completely stopped all funding. Despite the fact that it has $450 million in assets, it refuses to support these chimps. The chimps live on 6 mangrove islands and can move about freely, but they're completely dependent on us, on humans, for their care. They have no access to fresh water and food. Until recently, a freshwater access system wasn't even working. Before that, caretakers could only give chimps cups of fresh water. You can see the photo of the chimps drinking from a cup of water at joyfulvegan.com on the show notes for today's episode. With your support, we can ensure the chimps have nutritious food and fresh water every day, that the facilities are maintained, and that the Liberian caretakers are compensated. So far, they've been caring for these animals, for these chimps, without pay. Please visit aavs.org/Liberia to read more about this story and to take action in many different ways. So please go to aavs.org/Liberia and also support this podcast by going to joyfulvegan.com, clicking on support under shop. You can make a one-time contribution or you can become a monthly patron. Thank you in advance. Before I start, I have to just share this with you. You should have seen me just before recording this. I went to the kitchen to just drop off my teacup to come into my office to record this. And I looked out the window, which is a pretty big window, so it's not hard to do. And I'm always looking out the window looking for wildlife. And I saw a deer. And I recognized it as one of the young adult females, but I couldn't identify quite who it was. And I'm still not quite sure. I need to get some ID features to be able to really identify them when I see them. And it could possibly be Phoebe, who was born 2 years ago. So she would be a young female and certainly able to now have her own young. And I saw her and I was like, oh, she's alone. As I'm trying to identify her, I'm really good at identifying them when they're in groups because I can tell them relative to one another. So I decided to look down the hillside out of the front of the house to see if anybody was with her because I kind of know their movements. I know where they go. So I decided to go look down on the hillside to see if she was alone or with someone. And lo and behold, I saw a new baby, a brand new baby. And I know that because it's a fawn with spots. She's a fawn. He's a fawn with spots. And of course, they only have spots for the first 6 months or so, 6 to 8 months. So even less than about 6 months. So I knew right away. And I had been saying that there had been no births this year. I haven't seen anybody. I haven't seen any new babies. And the last 2 years in a row, we had twins. And that's pretty typical for deer. Having two babies in a birth is typical. But when they have one, it's a sign that things, that they're not as strong, that things are not as good. Now, she could have had two and lost one. I don't know. it's more likely that she had one because the drought here has been pretty severe for wildlife. And I think this is the only baby at least born to the group that I'm familiar with. And I think it was Phoebe. Phoebe was, like I said, born 2 years ago. So I'm super excited. And I just started running around the house with my camera and trying to take pictures. And so the baby's probably about a month old because he's really stable and he looks great and he's still nursing. But I followed him around to see if I could get a good picture. And I haven't yet, but I need a name for him. So if you all want to pick a name, now it has to be a name that's either of a Greek or Roman figure, and it has to be androgynous because I don't know if he's male or female yet. So for instance, Phoebe was Phoebus or Phoebe, depending on whether she was male or female. So she turned out to be female, which I can tell about, you know, 8 months in when they either start growing little nubby antlers or not. What did I have? I had Alex. So Alex was either Alexander from Alexander the Great or Alexandra. And it turned out that he was a male. So he became Alex. I had, well, Marcus Aurelius, Marcus, named after Marcus Aurelius, who of course was a Roman emperor. And I knew he was male when I named him. We had, who else? Ella, who I knew was female when I named her. She's named after Helen. Ella is a nickname for Helen. She was named after Helen of Troy. So Greek or Roman names, please. And androgynous names so we can switch them. Oh, Attica. And Atticus. So again, it was Attica and Atticus, depending on whether she was male or female. She turned out to be female, so she's Attica. And then Athena, or I don't know, Athenum. I don't remember what I was going to do, but turned out she's a female too. So there's Athena as well. So androgynous names where I can switch depending on the sex of the animal, and Greek and Roman names, please. So please email contact@joyfulvegan.com because I really would love your recommendations. And you may name one of the deer here at Little Montali. So, okay, to the episode. I really wanted to share that with you because it happened just 2 minutes prior to recording this. So I've heard people say, you've probably heard it too, I've heard people say, well, just because you're vegan doesn't mean you're healthy. And I say that with that snide tone because I do hear this in this very accusatory way. And I talk a little bit about this in the episode I did on fat shaming. I did a recording on fat shaming. Actually, I did a podcast on it as well. It's in a couple different places. One's on SoundCloud, one's on the podcast. I did a very short one on SoundCloud, which you can go see or listen to rather. And it's really this kind of judgment against how people eat or how people look, specifically vegans. If you're vegan and you're fat, you're not healthy. And there's this kind of accusatory tone around that. And my whole point is it's none of your business. And we don't need to be shaming each other for how they eat and how they look. So that's kind of the gist of that. I think I called it, quote, you know, fat vegans give all vegans a bad name. And it's in quotes because, of course, I'm not saying that, but I'm quoting other people who say that. And it's kind of the same thing here. There's this judgment around vegans who are supposed to eat a particular way. Apparently, there's some rule book that I'm not familiar with where we're all supposed to be eating the same kinds of foods. And I haven't seen this book. So I hear people say things like, just because you're vegan doesn't mean you're healthy. Vegans eat a lot of processed foods. And then there's this kind of dramatic vegan, you know, processed foods are killing people and processed foods are evil. And that's why I named this episode what I did, because there is this kind of exaggerated conspiratorial tone around processed foods. And so my perspective is what I'm going to share with you today is, first of all, those are some pretty big blanket statements. You know, processed foods are evil, processed foods are killing people, and yet you see this all around the interwebs, and you see people say this all the time. These are huge generalizations, and I've heard them come out of the mouths of vegetarians and vegans and non-vegetarians and non-vegans. So I'd like to unpack this. The first thing to do when unpacking this is defining what a processed food is. And technically speaking, a processed food is any food that has been washed, cleaned, cut, milled, chopped, heated, pasteurized, blanched, boiled, cooked, canned, jarred, frozen, mixed, blended, or packaged, right? Any one of these things makes it a processed food. Essentially, any food that is in any way altered from its whole natural state is considered a processed food. That means the orange juice that you pour from the carton, even if it states that it's freshly squeezed, it's actually a processed food. In fact, the orange juice you squeeze yourself into a glass from a fresh orange, that's considered processed food. It means the peanut butter you buy Or the peanut butter you grind in a health food store to make the jar of peanut butter that you bring home with you is processed food. It means the blueberries you blend into a smoothie, or the fresh tomatoes your grandmother canned, or the fresh kale you dehydrate to make kale chips, or the cooked chickpeas you turn into hummus. Those are all processed foods. And there's nothing wrong with any of these foods. There's a reason one of my favorite kitchen appliances is called a food processor. And what I make from it or from my blender are perfectly healthful food. There's nothing wrong with blended fruit or canned beans or dehydrated kale. Eating foods in their different states brings pleasure and variety to our lives. So for me, I like to make a distinction between minimally processed and highly processed foods, because there's a very wide range when it comes to quote unquote processed foods. You can certainly exercise your right to avoid highly processed foods, but to make a huge generalization and write off all processed foods is to oversimplify something that is not black and white. Unless you're living in the jungle and you're just eating solely off of what grows on vines and trees, and you're just picking them that day and putting them right in your mouth, we all eat processed foods. So this holier-than-thou attitude is what I want to address today, and it comes from non-vegans, and it comes from vegans. So when we talk about processed foods, we're talking about a huge spectrum. From my point of view, it's more reasonable to talk about minimally processed and highly processed foods. And one of the reasons I think it's important to clarify this is because I often hear people, and this often comes from non-vegans, sometimes anti-vegans, excoriate veganism, you know, kind of like all of like the lifestyle of veganism, the philosophy of veganism, merely on the basis that there are commercial vegan products in the marketplace. And these products, in their words, in their view, imitate animal products, right? These are the products they would call fake. And you know how I feel about this word being applied to food. You can check out the podcast episode called I Don't Eat Fake Meat. You can watch the vegan point of view video called I Don't Eat Fake Meat or Drink Imitation Milk to get my opinion on fake foods. But these are foods that would be considered quote unquote fake foods. And so I've seen people write off veganism, but even vegetarianism, right? Because we're talking about grain-based or plant-based meats, right? So that would apply to people who are vegetarian as well. And I've seen people say things like, well, I went vegan or I went vegetarian and I thought I was doing a really good thing. And then I realized I was eating so many fake processed foods when I was vegan. So I went back to eating animal products, which makes absolutely no sense to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, I realize I'm throwing babies out with bathwater, but the baby survived. Okay, so let me just use that idiom. But you get the idea. To throw out all of veganism because you were eating processed food makes no sense. There isn't one way to eat under this huge umbrella called vegan. Vegan is not a diet. The specific ways people choose to eat under this umbrella called vegan, these are diets. Here's a diet. A no oil diet, that's a diet. No sugar diet, all fruit diet, no fruit diet, raw diet, a whole foods diet, a no soy diet, a no wheat diet, a no blue foods diet, a no pink foods diet. These are diets, right? And you can eat however you want under this whole spectrum. So when people say, well, do you think veganism is healthy? Well, I don't understand. What does that mean? Is it good that we're not consuming animal products? Absolutely. That's going to be healthier. It's going to be better for us. It's going to be better for the planet. It's going to be better for the animals, obviously. So that's just this kind of thing of not consuming animal products. But in that definition, there are so many ways to eat. And frankly, I don't think it's anybody's business. If I'm going to have potato chips tonight and I'm vegan, I'm not representing, you know, every single vegan on the planet. And I don't think we have to pretend that we're perfect. And I don't think it's about deprivation either. So however you want to eat within this spectrum called vegan, it's great. But to say veganism is flawed because there are highly processed foods in the marketplace or because those are choices that some people make is disingenuous to me. To me, it's a convenient excuse to avoid taking responsibility and certainly to deflect whatever it is you're doing in your perfect life. I also find it interesting because you often hear criticism about processed foods and veganism, As if non-vegans are not eating processed foods, right? There becomes this dichotomy of, yeah, I thought about being vegan, but there's a lot of processed foods out there. There's a lot of non-vegan processed foods out there, right? Like, be careful about going vegan. All those processed vegan foods, they don't compare to whole fresh foods, right? Like vegetables and nuts and grains and fruits, etc. Well, yeah, that's true. But what does that have to do with the choices you can make whether you're eating vegan or not? Even if you're eating not vegan, you can still choose processed foods versus whole foods, right? So this idea that there aren't a ton of highly processed foods in the non-vegan world, first of all, that's just false. But this idea is so weird to me that people don't start thinking about processed foods until they start considering veganism. Obviously, you can eat whatever way you want, whether you're eating vegan or not. So to warn people off about veganism or against veganism because there are processed vegan foods doesn't even make any sense. Again, it just kind of becomes this red herring. I see this often when I'm guiding people in the transition to being vegan. If I'm in person with them and I start talking to people about all the non-dairy food products in the store or the vegan meats that are available, invariably, the question they ask, these tend to come from non-vegans, is, oh, so is that healthy then? You know, is that non-dairy butter healthy? Is that plant-based meat healthy? Is that cashew-based cheese healthy? And I'm glad they're asking a question that's super, super important, but I wonder if they were asking this question before when they were eating, or even when they're still eating, the animal-based crap that they've been putting in their body for years, right? But then when they start looking at the vegan versions, right, the oil-based, just the vegan butter, for instance, a non-dairy butter, then they start saying, well, is that healthy? Well, compared to what? Compared to what you're eating now, compared to the dairy-based butter, compared to the hamburgers and hot dogs and potato chips and, you know, roast beef and fried fish and chicken nuggets and egg-laden salad dressings and soda and cow's milk, like compared to that, that's healthy. That vegan butter is healthy, or the vegan chicken nuggets are healthy. And that's the point. This is all relative. Does field roast grain and vegetable-based sausage have a higher nutritional profile than the animal-based sausage that most people are eating? Yeah, absolutely. Using all the ways we measure macro and micronutrients, grain-based sausage is far and away healthier than sausage made from a pig that is pureed beyond what is even recognizable as an animal. There's no dietary cholesterol. There's no animal-based saturated fat, which is chemically different and behaves differently than plant-based saturated fat. There are no animal hormones, and there's no harmful animal protein in the field roast sausage. There's also no once living animal who was gruesomely processed to be shoved into a sausage-shaped plastic casing. Yes, in every way, field roast grain-based or tofurkey tofu-based sausage, these are superior to animal-based sausage. For the same reasons, tapioca-based or cashew-based or soy milk-based non-dairy cheese is superior to cheeses made from animal milk. For the same reasons, yogurt made from the milk of a nut or grain or bean has a superior nutritional profile to one made from the milk of animals. These conventional non-vegan yogurts that we're so familiar with in the store, they're inferior in every way compared to the plant-based milks. They've just been status quo, but that doesn't make them better. It just makes them more prevalent and more familiar to us. Just because someone or something isn't part of the status quo doesn't make him or her inferior. Different doesn't mean less than. And we all know that. This is what we teach our children. So like I said, it's all relative. But let me flip this around. Is a field roast sausage healthier than a bowl of blueberries? Well, that depends on what you're measuring. In terms of calories, there will be fewer calories in the equal amount of blueberries. So you might not have as much energy as you need to get through an afternoon of work if you just eat a bowl full of blueberries versus a field roast sausage. But on the other hand, there will be more phytochemicals, like healthful anthocyanins in the blueberries than in the sausage. But on the other hand, there's more protein per calorie in the sausage. So you see what I mean? It really depends on what you're measuring. It's all relative. If you're looking at the nutrient density of a whole pinto bean, versus a vegan chicken nugget, of course the whole bean wins, right, in terms of nutrient density. But if you're looking at the nutrient density of a vegan chicken nugget versus a dead chicken who's been defeathered and thrown into a chlorine bath to reduce salmonella poisoning and whose body has been dismembered and shrink-wrapped, you know what? The vegan chicken nugget wins. So while vegan meats provide the salt, fat, texture, and familiarity that you crave in animal-based versions in a healthy and humane package versus the animal-based versions, some of these little buggers, some of these vegan meats, yeah, they are definitely more highly processed than others. Even within the category of vegan meats, there is a spectrum of how processed they are. Tofu and wheat gluten meats are less processed than soy isolate protein or soy protein concentrate meats, right? And of course, I recommend the former, especially as part of a regular diet, right? I recommend the ones that are just based on gluten or tofu versus all the ones that have all of the soy isolate protein. And yet I still don't have a problem from a health perspective periodically eating the more highly processed vegan meats that are made from the soy isolate protein. I treat them as the convenience foods they are, and I recommend them as transition foods. I think they're especially helpful for new vegans. And I'm smart enough, and I know they're smart enough, and I know you're smart enough to know what it means when I say make whole foods the foundation of your diet. Advocating making whole foods the foundation of our diet does not mean striving for perfection. It means making whole foods the foundation and eating an abundance of fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and beans and grains and mushrooms and herbs and spices. As far as processed foods, I just recommend not making them a huge part of the diet. When I have them, the more highly processed foods are still not the main part of my meal. I might cut up some Gardein vegan chicken to be part of a huge veggie stir fry, or I'll add some vegan sausage to a veggie casserole. The whole foods, the veggies, the grains, the legumes, they're the foundation. Or in most cases, they're the main part of, or the only part of my meals. I don't eat the processed ones a lot, but I don't not eat them because I think there's anything inherently wrong with the commercial vegan foods. I don't eat them as much because they don't have the nutrient density of whole foods, right? So getting the most nutritional bang for my caloric buck, I want to choose nutrient-dense foods. Let me put this another way. It's not what the processed foods are that make me less prone to give them center stage. It's what they're not. Does that make sense? I would rather eat whole beans as the main part of my meal versus even, you know, tofurkey, because the whole beans are going to give me more nutritional bang for my caloric buck. It's not because I think there's anything wrong with the tofurkey sausage. So that's my perspective. So perhaps you eat only whole foods right off the vine and picked right off the tree, like I said, completely raw, nothing cooked, nothing chopped, nothing flavored, because of course spices and herbs are also processed. But I think it's realistic and perfectly helpful to expect people to eat a combination of some fresh foods and some processed ones and even some highly processed ones. I find that it's typical, especially after you first transition to being vegan. I find that it's typical for people to kind of start with these products. And then once you settle into your body and your palate changing, and both of which will start to quote unquote crave more whole foods. And I talk about craving in those episodes I mentioned before. People treat the more highly processed foods as treats or convenience foods, not staples in their diet over time. I see it time and again. So this just kind of judgment and just rush to excoriate all highly processed or more processed vegan foods, especially when someone first becomes vegan, like give them time to like acclimate. They're still kind of learning new things. And I have seen so many people use these products, especially the meats, to transition. And then with more information and more time, they eat more whole foods. And I'm so glad these products are out there. I am so thrilled these products are out there for people to realize they can make more healthy, more humane choices over the animal-based ones. Now, sometimes I don't want to waste my daily calories on a highly processed food, like an energy bar. Like that's an example of a food I don't tend to eat a lot. Sometimes it's convenient, like if I'm hiking or I'm traveling and I'm walking around a lot, it's nice to have the bars in my bag. Yes, sometimes I have apples, hard to take bananas because they get mushy really quickly. So I'm always kind of weighing like, what are my needs and what's easy, right? So same with like soup, like sometimes I make homemade soup, sometimes I don't, sometimes I get canned soup, right? I'm not a zero sum game player. That's just not what I do. That's just not what I advocate. I don't even think it's realistic and I don't really think it's that much fun. I buy dried beans that I then soak and cook. And then I also buy canned beans, right? Beans are an inexpensive source of protein and a heart healthy soluble fiber, of course. I'm not someone who's overly concerned about sodium, but some people are. And this is one of the criticisms I see people make about processed vegan foods, right? And this is one of the reasons they write them off altogether, because they don't want the sodium. Now, even though I don't count the milligrams of sodium I take in each day, I do rinse my beans however I'm going to use them, mostly because I don't like all the, you know, the thick water, the gunk that they're sitting in the can. So I rinse them for that reason. And rinsing removes about 50% of the sodium, according to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So if you don't get a sodium-free or low-sodium can of beans, you can wash off some of the sodium if that's what you're concerned about. But even if you don't, it's still less sodium than you'll be getting in a hamburger. So again, people are like, oh, all these vegan processed foods, there's lots of sodium. Well, okay, there's lots of sodium in animal products. All right. The average fast food single patty plain hamburger contains almost 400 milligrams of sodium. The recommended daily limit is 2,300 milligrams. In addition to the ground beef, of course, the bun and the condiments on the burger, they're going to increase the sodium content. So the average hamburger bun contains about 200 milligrams of sodium. And then you add some ketchup and you add some mustard and you add some cheese. And now you've got a burger with all the fixins. And all I did was, this is just like a slice of cheese, some ketchup, some mustard on a bun, you know, a single patty. And that's about 1,000 milligrams of sodium, which is, you know, about 43% of your daily 2,300 milligram limit. But I haven't even brought up the side, you know, the French fries, the soda that people are eating. And so people very quickly, as you can see, get to their limit and above their limit for sodium very quickly. Now, comparing that to a bean burger, not only is there less sodium in the bean burger, but there's also fiber, which every single solitary animal product lacks. I don't care whether it's from the milk, from an egg, from meat. Every single animal product lacks fiber. There's no fiber in animal products. There's also healthful plant protein in the bean burger. There also isn't animal-based saturated fat, and there's zero dietary cholesterol. So that's an example of a processed food, a bean burger that I eat. Another processed food I eat with no compunction is non-dairy yogurt. As with all other plant-based foods, there's no dietary cholesterol, no animal-based saturated fat, no lactose. Remember, lactose is a mammalian milk sugar. It's also got all the probiotics that people associate with dairy-based yogurts. If you want less sugar in your non-dairy yogurt, buy unsweetened yogurts and you can flavor them or sweeten them yourself. One of the things I love about yogurt is that I use it as a vehicle for eating a ton of fruit and some nuts. I often add about a cup of frozen blueberries and some walnuts to my favorite yogurt. So it really becomes more like frozen blueberries and walnuts with yogurt mixed in. It's really mostly the fruit. And yet I love the yogurt. My favorite is the blueberry coconut milk yogurt, which if you don't want to pay $1.99 for, this is the So Delicious. Love So Delicious and I want to support them. But it's $1.99 at Whole Foods, I find. If you find it on sale elsewhere, awesome. But Trader Joe's private labels So Delicious's blueberry coconut milk yogurt. So you can get it at Trader Joe's for like $1.29, which is where I usually get my yogurt from. Nut butters. I could not go a day. And I don't want to go a day without eating peanut butter. I do not go a day. It could be almond butter if you prefer almond butter. But I love nut butters, all nut butters, peanut, almond, cashew. Of course, there's so many wonderful ones now. They've been minimally processed, right? But they're still considered processed. And I'm happy to eat this processed food. And of course, they're just fantastic. I mean, they're just a great snack. They're a great source of protein, great source of vitamin E, et cetera. Here's another one that a lot of people excoriate, and it's really too bad. Frozen vegetables. One of the biggest myths is that frozen vegetables are not nutritious. And it's really a shame because if people really understood that they're not less nutritious. They would eat more vegetables, I think, because it's more convenient to have the frozen vegetables, you know, in the freezer. Since frozen vegetables are picked at their peak and they're immediately frozen to preserve their taste and nutrition, frozen vegetables are so fantastic to have on hand because they're so convenient. Now, fresh is always best because it's going to taste the best. You can do the best things with them. But frozen vegetables are just as nutritious as fresh. And that would be an example of a processed food that people think are so bad. No, I would rather see people get frozen vegetables than no vegetables. And that's what's happening now. So if it's a matter of choosing no vegetables versus frozen, guess which is better, okay? Finally, another criticism people make about processed vegan foods that they use to write off veganism, one of the criticisms that they use is that a lot of these products are made with genetically modified soy. And so then what happens is the rant becomes about GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And this is classic distraction, classic diversion, right? So let's be clear about this. Most soy foods, tofu, tempeh, soy milk, as well as those made into more highly processed vegan meats, are made with soybeans for direct consumption to consumers and are thus organic and non-GMO. Most. In fact, most vegan companies have non-GMO certification and organic certification. You can see that right on their label. I always recommend buying organic soybean-based foods, all of these foods that I just named. And under current law, the organic definition excludes GMOs. So if you're getting organic tofu and organic soy milk and organic soybeans or organic edamame, etc., by definition, by law, they cannot be genetically modified. The vast majority of genetically modified soybeans grown are for animal feed. Now, you can make that little hashtag for the day. It could be your little tweet of the day. The vast majority of genetically modified soybeans grown are for animal feed. The animals eat the genetically modified soybeans, which are also shown to have high amounts of pesticides on them. And the people eat the animals or their secretions, taking in both the pesticides and the GMOs, not to mention all the saturated fat and the animal protein and the lactose and all the other things that are wreaking havoc on our bodies. So related to that, we have decades of research that implicates the consumption of meat, dairy, and eggs as our greatest killer, right? Heart disease is our greatest killer. And we have decades of research that implicate the consumption of meat, dairy, and eggs because of the saturated fat and the dietary cholesterol. Now, as much as the industry likes to confuse the public with studies they fund and manipulate, weighing it all, even if I ate some GMOs in my 100% plant-based diet, that still far outweighs consuming animal flesh and animal secretions, where you're taking in pesticides and GMOs and saturated fats and dietary cholesterol and harmful animal protein and lactose and animal hormones and aberrant proteins that cause mad cow disease, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. See, if I still just had some soybeans in my edamame that were genetically modified, that still outweighs the consumption of animal products. And yet you hear people immediately go to vegan, soy, GMOs, bad. And that's exactly how the trajectory goes. And we as vegans agree with it because we talk about it in the same way. We don't push back and say, what are you talking about? The majority of soybeans raised for human consumption are non-GMO, period. There's nothing else to say about it. There's nothing else to say about it. And if you don't believe the labeling, then I've talked about this when I talked about the palm oil in that episode, then I don't know what else to tell you, because at some point we have to believe at some point, or just everything is just a lie. And some people do believe everything is a lie. I'm not one of those people. So for now, I do trust that if a label says USDA organic, that I know that it's organic, I know that it's vegan, and I know that it's non-GMO. It's the best I can do. I can only go by that. And so this holier-than-thou attitude about processed vegan foods and genetically modified soy becomes a red herring against veganism. The problem we have, and all the problems we're facing from a health, environmental, ethical perspective, is the breeding, killing, and consumption of animal flesh and secretions. These are the ultimate in processed products. Animal-based meat is highly processed. So is dairy. So is cheese. They're all processed. All meats are processed. I don't care if you're just cutting off a leg of an animal and then eating the leg. You still have to process that leg to make it edible. Not being obligate carnivores, we have to cook animal flesh before eating it, or we'll die from the pathogens in the raw flesh. You also have to remove the fur or feathers. You often have to remove the skin. That's processing. If you think boiling a soybean and making a milk is processing, what do you think killing an animal is? The unappetizing process of turning live animals into isolated body parts and ground up chunks of flesh is ugly and bloody and violent. It's why no one wants to look at it. I will take processed vegan food over that every day. But luckily, those are not our only two choices. We have a huge spectrum of whole foods that we can choose. A whole spectrum of completely whole, right off the vine, all the way through minimally processed, slightly processed, highly processed foods to choose from. It doesn't come down to, I'm going to keep eating animal products versus highly processed vegan products. That's a false dichotomy. And we, as vegans, all need to help debunk that myth and completely cut off the blood supply of this very false dichotomy, which has really negative consequences. The main one of which is that people are scared off of eating vegan, which is just, again, a red herring. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for supporting this podcast and other content if you're confident that this work is having an impact in the world. And I will prove it to you because I'm going to have a Love Letters episode coming up. We haven't done one in a while. Then I urge you to support this podcast. Go to joyfulvegan.com and click on the support button under shop, or you can just find the Patreon button and become a monthly contributor, or you can make a one-time donation. And thank you to the American Anti-Vivisection Society for their sponsorship. Please go to aavs.org/Liberia and help support the Liberia chimps. Go to aavs.org/Liberia and read all about it and help provide the emergency funds necessary to support these animals. And for those still listening, and I'm testing those of you who are, our next vegan trip with CPG, that's me, will be to Sicily. We decided next year we're not going to go to southern mainland Italy. We are going to go to Sicily, and we've got an amazing trip planned. I'm going to have the details soon. So if you're interested in joining us in end of May, early June next year in 2016, be sure to join the mailing list at joyfulvegan.com, and you'll be the first to hear about it when we announce it. Even though I've kind of announced it here, we're going to Sicily. Vegan Sicily. We have only 20 slots and they'll fill up fast. So join the mailing list so that you can hear about it and sign up right away. For the animals, this is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.